This is an AMI podcast.
Are you ready?
Let's go.
From AMI Central.
Now circling in the neutral zone.
Here's the pitch on the way. 36 yards for the win.
This.
Here comes a big chance. The shot.
Is
this the tiger?
The neutral zone.
This is as good as it gets.
Now, here's your host, two-time Paralympian, Brock Richardson.
This is a newsworthy edition of the Neutral Zone today. We have a couple of news items to pass your way later on in the program. Let me just tell you what's coming up on today's edition of the Neutral Zone. We release our final Canadian Paralympic Committee Summit interview. Today, we speak with New Brunswick swimmer Danielle Doris. In the second half, as I mentioned, we have a couple of special announcements. I'm joined by Cam Jenkins and Josh Watson. Let's get into our headlines for this week.
Neutral Zone headlines.
Senior women's national team wheelchair basketball coach Mooney Abbott Peter has stepped down from her position for personal reasons. Marnie will remain part of the women's Basketball Canada High Performance Program as head coach of the women's under 25 team and lead the development of our next generation of young female athletes as they strive for excellence.
We congratulate Team Canada wheelchair curling team for recently winning the best team performance at the 2020 Paralympic Games. At this particular event, they won bronze. They have podiumed in each of the five other times that wheelchair curling has been represented at the Paralympic Games. This team is the epitome of success at the Paralympic Games. Congratulations to them.
Toronto Maple Leafs star center Austin Matthews has signed a four-year extension with the team. The contract is worth an average annual value of $13.25 million per season, making him the highest paid player in the league. Good luck to the Leafs this year. Having Austin Matthews signed will certainly make the rest of the signings that are necessary more easy to figure out, we'll say.
We release our final Canadian Paralympic Committee Summit interview. Today, we speak with New Brunswick's Danielle Doris, who is a Paralympic swimmer. Please enjoy the interview.
Danielle, we're going to start with the fact that you are New Brunswick's Female Athlete of the Year, being their first para-athlete that has received this award. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. I think it was very special that they named me Female Athlete of the Year and not just Female Para-Athlete of the Year, because in for Swim New Brunswick, we have awards, and they have a specific one for Female Para Swimmer Athlete of the Year. And obviously, I'm winning that every year since I'm the only one. But being able to beat out the able-bodied athletes who were eligible for Female Athlete of the Year in New Brunswick and being able to win that, I think it's very special and very progressive. And I felt very honored to have that title.
Yeah, when you found out about this, because you find out about these things before the rest of the world, what was your first reaction?
I thought, I was like, oh wow, this is amazing. Part of me didn't think it was gonna happen because I had been nominated the year prior and I hadn't won. When I personally, in my opinion, I think I should have won just because I had performed the best within my discipline, I guess, versus the others in their disciplines. So having won the next year following, it felt very rewarding and very fulfilling, I guess, I would say.
So you're 20 now, and you've been swimming for a while, and it's easy sometimes to fall into the trap of, I want to be a kid, and I want to just be myself. How do you get yourself out of that track when you get there?
I don't think I've ever really been like, I'm a kid, I need to go do kid stuff. I grew up very fast. When I made that first Paralympic team, I put myself in the mindset of, I need to be an adult right now. Let's be professional. I guess in a sense, the way that I'm still acting like a child is I hate replying to emails. It's probably the worst, I think it's like my bad quality is that I suck at emails, and it's very childish of me to just see them and read them but just not reply to them. I've gotten better at it. I've started replying to emails a lot more frequently because I've started to realize that I need to, it's part of being an athlete, and it's a part of my brand, I guess, to be replying to people and keeping myself engaged. So I think in that aspect, it's where I'm starting to grow more to be an adult.
Sometimes we just don't want to adult in life. And
it's
like, and it's not even about being a kid. It's just, I just don't want to adult. I just want to do my job and go home. And the job for you is para swimming.
Exactly.
And that's, people say, well, why don't you be a little more personal? Because I have to do a job. I'm here to do a thing, and maybe I don't want to answer emails.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not the answer I would have expected you to give me, is that I don't answer emails. I think that that's real, that's honest. For you, you are one of the top medal contenders for the next games in Paris. How do you not feel the pressure in this and say, I just got to go and do what I have to do?
Exactly like you said, I have that mindset of I just need to go in and do what I want to do. I'm not going to perform for others. I'm going to perform for myself. I want it to be, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do my best and my best of my abilities. And if it results in those medals, then it results in those medals. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. And I personally won't be upset about it. Others maybe, but I, as long as I'm doing what I want to do, I'll be as happy as I can. I don't want to let the pressure of defending anything get to me.
Is it hard because as athletes we're so programmed in results based? Is it hard? You said the words, which I appreciate, that you're not, you know, medal focused. Is it hard to walk away from games or competitions and say, this one wasn't my best and I should have been here? Or is it as easy as how you just said it? I'm not medal focused as much.
I will say, for me personally, whatever happens. I can't go back and change that. So even though I wanted to give my best and the results weren't my best, I can't go back and change that. So why think about the past when I can look into the future and be like, hey, let's do better next time? That's the way I think about it all. I don't want to focus on what could have been versus what will be.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda does not always work.
Exactly.
I think, you know, as we progress towards the games here, for you, what has Swim Canada done for you personally in helping you, you know, advance in your career and be at the best you can be?
I think Swim Canada has definitely started to help para athletes a lot more. They have started matching the amount of money they've been giving to the able body to us para athletes so that things are more equal. For our helping with like training funds and equipment funds and travel funds. So they've definitely started to help with the easing of how much things cost for our sport.
It's all about the mighty dollar.
Exactly.
What is your favorite thing about swimming?
I think my favorite thing about swimming is that Well, there's two parts. There's the fact that anybody can do it. This is me being like trying to advocate people to come swim. This is anybody can do it. And then for my personal side, I think my personal thing is like I feel weightless in the water. So it's like I feel like I'm just floating, even though I'm moving very fast. I feel like it's helps de-stress everything. So it's a big de-stressor for me. That's my personal love of swimming. And then there's the professional side of me being like, everybody can swim. Come do it. Join me.
Other than the money, which we've chatted about, what is the most challenging part about swimming for you?
One of the most challenging parts is... it's definitely probably the equality between able-bodied and para, where it's very sad to say that a lot of the times at competitions, we are integrated, but we're not too integrated to where all of our events are always at the end of everybody else's. So everyone's, all this, like, fans are already leaving because they already watched the able body. It's similar to with the Paralympics and the Olympics, where Paralympics are after the Olympics. I think they should be before, because then we would hype the Olympics up. And in swimming, we're always after the able-bodied events, so we're always having to cheer each other on versus the fans. But if we're before, I think it would allow them to, for us to have fans and to cheer us on. So I think that's the way I would answer that.
is part of it due to the fact that we go through 18-20 days of the Olympic Games and people just get Olympic'd out, whereas if we did it before, they're going to do it? Or do you think it stems further from we're just exhausted from Olympic coverage?
Probably they're tired of watching the same thing that just happened, but just in a shorter time frame. I think having the Paralympics first, it is shorter, so it wouldn't tire you out of the Olympics to watch the Olympics, because you'd get hyped from us and then you'd watch them. I think we're cooler to watch because there's so many different things that you're seeing, different sports. The Olympics doesn't have goal ball or bocce ball, and it's like, there's so many different things about the Paralympics versus the Olympics that I think we, as the Paralympics, could hype up the Olympics so that people would want to watch both. I just hope that's what happens in the future, that it switches.
If somebody from one of the main networks is watching or whatever, what would be your message to them in, like, if you were to pitch to them why they should cover the Paralympic Games the way they cover the Olympic Games, what would you say to somebody if they said, if you sell me on this, I'm going to do it?
I think it should be covered the exact same way to help educate the world that us as disabled people can do exactly the same thing as able-bodied people, just slightly different. The basis of the Paralympics, the meaning is parallel or equal to. So the fact that it's not, I think we need to change that and live up to that definition of parallel or equal to, and equal to. So I think and as I was saying earlier, we're so much cooler to watch because we all look different. So kids who are watching us on TV who look like us could be like, oh, I can go do this. As a child myself, I always thought, oh, I want to go to the Olympics, but I can't because I don't look like them. But if the Paralympics had been on TV, I'd be like, oh, I can go to the Paralympics because I look like them and I can do exactly what they're doing. So I think we need to start having that true saying of parallel or equal to.
Very well said. You know, family is an important piece to what we do and coaches. What has your support networks meant to you, done for you, for the reasons you're sitting in front of me as a Paralympic you know, hopeful medalist again for 2024.
So I am a big family oriented person. I had made the decision last year to move away from my family for the first time, and I realized that I hated it, and my mental health was very poor last year, and so I made the decision to move back home, and I'm way better now. I'm really happy. I'm back with my family. I'm back with my home coach, who has helped me get to where I am today, and he was there with me in Tokyo. He's going to be there, hopefully, with me in Paris. So, like, they just help keep me sane and really help ground me into the person who I know I am.
How important is consistency in general, but consistency as far as coaches?
I think coaches' consistency is good, but also coaches learning at the same time and growing as coaches to be better coaches is good. So, like, my coach, I had met him when he had just really only started coaching, so he was learning as I was also learning. So we learned together. And so I think that helped both of us grow into who we both are. And I think as long as you're always willing to learn something, coach or athlete, it'll help better you as a coach or an athlete.
You mentioned earlier that because of para sports, you've had to grow up quicker than the average person in your age, and I was in a similar situation. For you, because you've had to do that, how do you carry the growth into your personal life aside from para sports?
I would say that even though I had grown up faster in my para sport life, I try to keep that life very separate from my personal life. So my personal life growing up, I was still mature because it does transfer over, but I also tried to goof off as much as I could with my friends, even though I was still slightly more mature, slightly more dedicated, more like punctual. I try to like not let the fact that I was growing up so quickly deter the fact that my friends weren't. So like they helped me still act like a kid when I needed to be a kid, which really helped me in my sport life to be able to keep my professionalness to that and only that as I was growing up. Now, as an adult, I can use that professionalness from my sport life and bring it into my personal life.
When you woke up this morning and you were coming here and going to do a whole bunch of media and listen to guys like me ask you a bunch of questions, you had to have had a goal in mind, and we're really getting towards the end of the day as we record this. Did you accomplish your goal in what you hope to achieve?
I think I've accomplished my goal. I just wanted to make people smile and laugh and tell my story about who I am and why I love sport and why para sport needs to become more known, and having this many media people come in and ask us all questions is amazing. I did not think there were just gonna be this many interviews. It was so many. I think there's like been like 11 or 12 of them, and it's been an amazing day, and I'm happy that we're getting para sport out there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for doing this interview.
Thank you.
We
for
greatly appreciate
me.
It, and it's so nice to meet you in person.
Yes.
We've had you on the program before, and we hope to have you on again soon.
It was lovely meeting you for the first time in person. And thank you for having me.
That was Danielle Doris from Moncton, New Brunswick, para swimmer, and she was talking about her career in swimming. We hope you enjoyed the interview, and it was a pleasure putting together all of those interviews over the number of months that we've been able to release them. We have some big news to share on a couple of different fronts. First of all, for those of you that might have noticed, Josh Watson was not with us last week, and that's because he was doing something pretty special. So I will let him take the wheel to tell us what he did last week.
Thank you, Brock. Last week I was away from the show, as we know. I had the chance to go to beautiful Grand Prairie, Alberta, and go visit my girlfriend, Tammy. We met through Brock about 2 years ago, almost, 2 years on September 2nd. And after a lot of consideration and a lot of just humming and hawing and not sure what to do, I finally just got up the courage and said, you know what? She's a wonderful woman and I'd like to marry her someday. So I took the opportunity when I got out there to ask her to marry me, and she accepted. She said yes. So we are very excited. We're giving ourselves a year to plan and to get everything in place, and hoping for a September 2024 wedding. I really could not be happier. I'm a very lucky man. She is a wonderful woman.
As you're about to find out over the next 30 plus minutes, this panel is an extremely close panel. And I listen, I've been friends with Josh for like ever. And we started as more of acquaintances, and then we reconnected when we got with Voices for Ability, and he was doing some work with Melanie Taddeo, and we've grown closer and closer as he's been a part of this panel. And I could not be happier for two individuals who are probably two of the nicest people that I know, aside from Cameron and Claire, of course, because you got to throw them in there as well. But I just,
absolutely,
I'm incredibly happy for the two of you. All the best in success, and what a way to start off what is going to be a challenging next few minutes with positive news. So congratulations to you both, and look forward to seeing the next chapter of your life open up, and congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, Josh. That's phenomenal news.
Thank you.
And you've been together for quite a while with her, and you're both lovely people, and I wish you nothing but happiness in the future.
I appreciate that, gentlemen. It's certainly been a challenge managing a long-distance relationship like this, but we both know what we want in life, and we have similar goals and aspirations, and so it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience, and I could not be happier. She's warm, she's kind, she's everything I've looked for in a partner, so I'm a very lucky man.
And Josh and I had a conversation, and his fiance is a very private person, and so for him to be able to publicly announce this is something big for Tammy and Josh, because Josh is even a relative private person, even though he's on with us every week, and we enjoy that as well. But such a great opportunity for us to be able to celebrate with you and share the news to our audience, which at this moment of the episode, we're like 60 people or so shy of 5,000 downloads since we started this 48, 49 episodes ago now. And it's really something cool. So congratulations. And this is the part of the show where we have another piece of news to share with you. And I have to tell you that Cameron is a genius on social media, because I didn't even realize that he had an audio thing attached to his Instagram post. And it was, Cameron, you might have to help me out here, but the song you posted on it was, what was the name of the song?
Oh man, I'll have to figure it out and let you know. But yeah, I did it. So I found that song, and I thought it was a good way to give a little teaser, shall we say,
yes,
for what you're about to announce. So it was part of a story, and that only lasts for 24 hours. So I'm not sorry. I don't remember what the name of the song was, but it certainly was a song you know, about the show, about what we've done with the show. And I don't want to, that's your job, Brock, to let people know what's going on. So I don't want to spill the beans. Yes. I'll let you do that and give my thoughts afterwards.
Well, I have delayed far too long, probably, in telling you that if you are familiar with AMI, you know that this is the end of AMI's fiscal year. And usually we have somebody come on and share some news of where the Neutral Zone is going and what's happening. And today I don't have that. And I'm telling you this because this episode is called the grand finale, because after more than 300 shows, 6 years and 3 months, this here is our final episode of the Neutral Zone here on Accessible Media Inc. And I wanted to spend some time in talking about the Neutral Zone and giving it its due. And I'm going to tell you that I have told Jordan and Mark, who do a wonderful job in editing this program and really make us look as done up and straightened up as possible. And I've told them to let things ride a little bit on this next segment, because we want to share with you and allocate the love and support that we have for the Neutral Zone. And because of that, as we go through this segment, there may be some emotions that you may see, and that's just because of the love and the admiration we have for this program. So let me start by talking to the second longest serving member of this panel, and that is the one and only Cam Jenkins. And he is been with this program since basically its inception, when we go back to Voices for Ability. I want to get your thoughts. What comes to mind when you think of the Neutral Zone and what we've done over the last 6 months and 3 years? Six years and 3 months, as I get that all twisted around.
That's okay. I thought it was 6 months. That was a long 6 months.
Very much so.
So it felt very long. So, yeah, it's a bittersweet moment. I've really enjoyed doing this show, you know, with all of the hosts that are co-hosts that we've had on, and all the guests that we've had on too. You know, I remember back even before the AMI days, you know, where we went to, it was in Port Credit in Mississauga, and we would have to walk upstairs to the studio. And in those days, which isn't good for Brock's anxiety or his whatever you want to call it, nervousness, we would just go up there on the day of, and then all of a sudden we would be like, okay, what do we want to talk about today? And then we just started talking about like whatever was in the news that week for sports. So could have been hockey, could have been football, could have been, you know, the para games, whatever it was. Like we just did it right there, recorded it. Everything happened that in that hour. Yeah. And it was great. And then it went to, you know, it kind of was off for a while because I was back to work and I wasn't able to commit to it. And then Brock asked me to come back on the show. And I think at that point it was still through Voices for Ability, and we were able to record at nighttime. So I remember that. And then Brock saying that, you know, he reached out to AMI and that they were wanting to have us on the show. And I remember the very first show that we had. I still have the picture of, you know, the original cast characters, I'll call them, you know, in the AMI boardroom, and us sitting there and taking a picture. And I remember that first episode as well, with David Ruckovina, Brett, Brock, and myself. And yeah, I've learned so much as far as broadcasting or how a show works when you're either doing a live show or doing a podcast, which, you know, it's kind of had different iterations while being on AMI audio. And, you know, I don't want to single out any guests, but all of the guests that we've had, it's been wonderful having all of the guests on, and we appreciate all of the guests that have come on to, you know, talk about parasports and to try to put parasports in the, in, you know, in the front to be able to, you know, get more excitement going about parasports. And that's what we originally wanted to do, is we wanted to put parasports in the forefront, and we wanted to promote parasports and to get it into the more mainstream and get people understanding more about parasports. And talking about the parasports as well, or sorry, the pro sports as well. It's always fun to talk about that. And, you know, I really love the kibitzing that, you know, being the last show, I guess I can admit it now. Sometimes I would kind of go on the opposite side on purpose just to kind of.
Wait, what? You're telling us this now?
Absolutely. Last show, I might as well come clean. So, doing that and trying to get a discussion going, or a back and forth, a bit of a conversation going, rather than, oh yeah, Austin Matthews is great. Yeah, Austin Matthews, like, that's boring. Somebody's got to go against the grain. And that was me a lot of the times. And yeah, I love doing that just to, you know, and I remember a time with you, Brock, when we were talking about the Blue Jays, and I think it had to do with, you know, the salary cap or lack thereof. And I was saying to you, like, Brock, if you were able to get $1 million because of all the people watching you, wouldn't you take that? And, you know, I think you ended up having to say yes. My memory's not the greatest, but I'm pretty sure you did. So,
I did. Yeah. You actually took the words right out of my mouth because you said.
Because you were saying, oh, I can say anything, or no, I wouldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, you're telling me. And then, So just kind of that back and forth, having fun and seeing your smile right now when I brought it up, or talking about, the old manager from the Blue Jays. I had a hate on for him.
Charlie Montoyo.
Thank you, Montoyo. Mm. And Kikuchi this year, he was my boy. But I didn't think he would, another honest truth, I didn't think he would do as well as he did. But I stuck with him, and thank God, he's done really well, except for maybe the last game. So it got lucky sometimes by some of the predictions I made or who I stuck by and stuff. But I'm glad I stuck with this program. Brock, it's been wonderful you being host and putting everything together. Although sometimes I would have just liked to have just come up with a topic last minute and talk about it, but I know that's not necessarily good for your health and probably other people show. So, and Josh, us going back and forth too and talking about certain things, and you know your stuff, and you did a lot of research into a lot of things, and that was great as well. And Claire being able to have that women's perspective, I think, was a phenomenal way to add to our show as well, during the years that she was on it. It's not necessarily, goodbye forever. The show might be in a different iteration, down the line, who knows what's going to happen. But I've really enjoyed being on the show and talking sports, and especially para sports. So thank you to AMI. And when I say AMI, I mean all of the management team, other hosts, the people behind the glass. I don't want to say any names because I know that I'm going to forget certain names.
I got you on that one later, okay. So you're good.
Yeah, so I just... thank you to everybody, and to everybody that has listened and supported this show through the different iterations, because we were on the radio, and I think, I don't know if you were an hour right away, but I think it was a half an hour, and then I went to an hour, and then kind of went back to a half an hour, back to an hour, and then video that we've done this year. So thank you for just being with us, supporting us, and going through all the different iterations. Because I think all of us have grown over the course of the show. And it certainly helped me through some darker times, especially during COVID, when we're, all alone in our apartments and we're not allowed to really go anywhere. And this show, I don't want to say saved my life, but, it really helped me out to get through some tough times. So, that's something else that I'll always remember this show for, is, you know, helping me out and getting through some tough times.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the future of this program as we sit here today and what I can tell you. But we'll save that for a bit down the line. Josh, comments from you and favorite memories, if you could throw some of that in there.
Absolutely. It'd be a pleasure. First of all, Cameron, you are one heck of a devil's advocate. I give you props for that. Anytime I thought, okay, well, we're going to talk about this and we're all going to be on the same page and everything's going to be fine, Cameron comes out of left field with something that creates a discussion point. So,
but I could never get you going. You were so professional and like you didn't even bat an eyelash, or your tone of voice didn't even go up, like not even a half an octave. So
I had to practice very, very hard for that. But no, I appreciate that you always had the best interest of the show in mind. And even if that meant going with an opinion that wasn't always popular, it was well received. One of my first memories of doing the show after being asked to come on after Dave's departure was coming down to our studio down there in Toronto, and of course waiting patiently for our turn to come into the studio after Kelly and Ramya, and not having really met Ramya before, the door to the studio opens and all of a sudden out comes Ramya attached to the end of this adorable dog. And this dog had clearly been cooped up for far too long, because all she wanted to do was escape. And poor Ramya nearly ran straight into me with the dog, because it wanted out, and that was that. So that was quite an introduction to what life at AMI might have been like. Unfortunately, shortly after that day, we ended up in the pandemic mode and working from home as we are now. So there wasn't a lot more of those experiences in studio, but that certainly stood out to me. And I hope that she managed to get her dog trained a little better so that he or she does not pull her down the hallway like she did that day. I am always floored when I think about the number of guests that we've interviewed and the caliber of the guests that we've interviewed. Never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that I would be involved with a program that would interview people like Devin Haru and, of course, Scott Russell when we talk about Paralympics, Dan Schulman when we talk about Blue Jays, Justin Bourne when we talk about hockey. We got to talk to Stephen Brunt about ghostwriting the Brian Burke book. There's just been so many wonderful, wonderful guests, and not always, you know, professional media people either. Some of the athletes we've interviewed have been incredible, and some of them, it's their first time being interviewed and they're nervous and they're scared, but they come on here and they trust us, and we are able to do our best with them to get them through, and we have a great conversation. And then, of course, we've been able to raise some pretty important issues on the show as well, just in terms of some of the issues that Claire deals with in the LGBTQ space, and just some of the more ethical issues in sports. It's been a real, what's the word I want here? It's been a safe space for ideas, I think. And that is incredibly valuable, because some of these issues may not come to light from a disability perspective if it's not for a program like this. And so, you know, it's been amazing to watch this show grow and progress. I made sure to follow the show as it left Voices for Ability and moved over to AMI. You gentlemen have done a wonderful job in growing this program the way you have. And it was really an honor and a privilege to be brought into such a great program a couple of years ago when I did join, because I had shoes to fill. And I knew I could, and I knew that it was going to be fun. but I didn't realize how much it could still grow. And my own skills when it comes to being on camera, when it comes to being on microphone, have grown exponentially. And it wouldn't have happened without this program. So I'm truly eternally grateful for the opportunity to be here.
Yeah. It's hard for me because we came to this, like, I brought a bunch of people that had virtually zero broadcasting experience. And I thought to myself, this can be something big. This can be something that I know we can do. And I've still got 15 minutes left to do of this program. And it's, you know, I look at this and I think, did I accomplish everything I wanted to accomplish? And the answer to that is no, because there could always be room for growth. There could always be room for better. There could always be room for whatever. So nothing is ever perfect. But I can say my goal when starting this thing was literally to bring the light of three or four individuals, whatever the max number was that we had at the beginning of this, and bring the light of disability, whether it was that we were talking about mainstream sports, whether it was that we were talking about parasports. I felt that even if we were talking mainstream sports, the angle we were bringing was different than your average cookie cutter program that, you know, could be the way that it was, and you could get them talking about the Leafs. And I just thought that we brought a different angle to the program. And I know that we switched, you know, gears to a para sports. And I remember having a lunch meeting with the people that were involved with me then, and some of them looking at me going, how the hell are we going to do this? You know, para sports isn't really readily available to us as is mainstream sports. And I said, you got to trust me and you got to believe in what we're doing and what we're going to do. And everybody has trusted me and done that. And for me, I'm forever grateful for that. And there's a lot of times that these guys sit in here and I just go completely off the page, you know, and they follow me. or like Mark Aflalo last week, who said, can you do this? And I didn't do what the this was, and I just blew right past it. And at the end, he was like, so do you want to do the thing I asked you to do 25 minutes ago? And I was like, oh yeah, I blew that. And we all just carried on. Cameron, I think you were going to add there.
Oh no, I was just laughing at you, thinking of, you blew it. But yeah, no, it's all good, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that I want to get from both of you is, what did you learn about yourself that if it wasn't for this program, you would not have learned? Josh, start with you, and then we'll move straight into Cameron.
I think for me, it was just that I have some skills that I can add to my resume. I never would have thought of myself as a podcaster or as someone who could appear on television or radio. And yet through this program and through some great coaching, through some amazing technical producers, I've been able to look and sound confident and competent at what I do. And that's pretty amazing, because most of the time, the only thing I'm bringing you is my opinion on something. I'm bringing no real education or knowledge of the particular topic. I'm just bringing forth my own thoughts and am able, thankfully and gratefully, to be able to put those into words in a manner that makes sense to all of you. And that's a skill I didn't know I had coming into this program.
Yeah, for myself, I think I learned, I've been thinking about this all week, and I think a lot of what Josh said is very true. That is what I've learned as well. It's just kind of raised my confidence when it comes to speaking. You know, on a show, I never imagined in a million years that I'd be doing something like this for so long. And this even goes before AMI, when I was doing it on Voices for Ability. hosting a panel, and it was just a matter of, okay, this is, you know, what we're doing, and Cameron, you're going to host the ability panel. So I was like, okay. So you just learn through the school of hard knocks of what my style is for, you know, what my style is for hosting a show and the questions to ask. And a lot of the time it was just ad-libbing, because I think one of the things I've learned to do is, you know, active listening. When you're hosting a show, you want to be an active listener and hear what the person is saying that you're interviewing, and then ask questions based on that, because I think it becomes a lot more of a personal interview if you're able to do that. So I would say active listening and is definitely something that I've learned over the years, and tried to hone on that to become better. And yeah, just learning how to interview somebody as well, the types of questions to ask, what the audience is looking for as well, being that person to have an opposite opinion, to get a little bit more spice or to get a little bit more talking on the program. I think I learned a little bit on how to do that as well. So, you know, there's so many different things, and how to be a team player as well. So I think I've, you know, learned that as well. And yeah, it's been a great experience, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. And it's been so fun, whether it's been a live show or a podcast, just talking sports. It's been so much fun.
We, there's one panel member missing today because she's at World Championships. Competing for Canada, and she has some thoughts that she'd like to share that I will throw to right now before we conclude the program.
So as I send this message and connect with you guys and our audience, I am here at the Women's World Para Hockey World Challenge, and it's kind of full circle, and the Neutral Zone gang brought me on as a guest and gave me a platform to talk about women's para hockey and growing the game when no one really knew about us. And a few weeks later, they reached out and brought me on as one of the crew. And it's been an unexpected blessing, and I've learned so much, and it's been one of the things that I look forward to the most each week is hanging out with my co-hosts and being able to talk about sports. And that's really how this all started, even before I came on, is a group of us that wanted to bring not only mainstream sports out to our audience, but to really, really dive in and share the extraordinary world of para sports. And I am forever grateful for the opportunity. And I know that this isn't the end for this group, because I know, aside from being co-hosts on the Neutral Zone each week, we have always been close friends, and we were a group of friends before the show, and we will continue to be a group of friends after the show. And I've had some incredible memories just being a part of this experience, and being able to not only highlight and speak about some of my favorite sports, but being able to talk to my idols and hear their stories and connect with them. And I don't know what else to say other than thank you. Thank you, Brock. Thank you, Cam. Thank you, Josh. And thank you, everyone who gave me an opportunity to come on here and be a part of this. It's been special. And I was definitely someone before this show that didn't exactly know how to use my voice and share my story and be able to give the space for other people to share theirs. And it's really shapes me into the person I am today. And I never in a million years thought I would fall into the industry of broadcasting, and I wouldn't want to do it with any other group. And I think we're going to move forward doing that. And I am excited to see what happens in the future with this group. And in the sports world, we see a lot of excitement and a lot of triumph, but it also brings along a lot of heartbreak. And this is one of those times that it's just heartbreaking that this has to come to an end. And there's not a moment that I won't be grateful for what this show has given me. So again, thank you to each and every one of you.
What's next for the program? Well, I can tell you that all four of us are committed to the brand. AMI has been incredibly grateful, or gracious, excuse me, in giving us the brand of the Neutral Zone. And so we will be able to carry it on in whatever form. There are some things in the works that I'm not privy to go into detail right now, but I can encourage you to follow us on our social media platforms, in which are on other previous episodes that we have those stingers, and we didn't run them today because we wanted as much time as humanly possible to do this closure. And yes, and so guys, before I close off here, I got a bunch of thank yous, just 30 seconds each, just final thoughts before I do the complete closure of the Neutral Zone. Cameron, go ahead.
Yeah, just thank you so much for allowing me to do this, and for listening in, and for being there. Just listening and being there for us. And it's been an absolute pleasure being on this station. And hopefully you'll see us moving forward. But if not, it's been a fantastic ride. And this really made a difference in my life to get through some tough times. And it was always fun talking sports. So thank you so much.
I absolutely echo both of those said sentiments. Excuse me. This program has been a place to learn, a place to grow, and a place for four friends to all talk about sports. It's been amazing. And I know the next little bit is probably going to be hard, but I know Brock's going to get through it just fine. We have a lot of gratitude to people at AMI, to the people at Voices for Ability, who encouraged us to bring this to AMI in the first place, to all of our guests who appeared on our program over the years, many of whom I still have relationships with through social media, whether it be Brianna Hennessy or Aaron Young or some of our other Paralympian guests. It's been an amazing ride. I remember sitting in on a couple of test episodes with Voices for Ability in Melanie's living room, holding that tiny little voice recorder in my hand as we attempted to do this, and just watching you guys as you went through Voices and into AMI. And you guys have done a hell of a job, and you should be absolutely commended for that. And I don't believe this is the end. I believe this is just see you later.
And on that note, here come the thank yous that I have for you. First of all, thank you to Andy Frank, who literally took an idea over 6 years ago and took a risk and said, yep, I'll give you guys a platform. And he did. And he kept renewing us. Thank you to all of our technical producers. Our first one, Nick Lisk. Our second one, Sam Robinson. Our third one, Matt Agnew, Jeff Ryman, Mark Aflalo, and Jordan Steves. Without any of you, we would not look as good as we do or sound as good as we do. And for those that are working on the video podcast, wow, you guys made us look beautiful, which none of us ever thought would be a thing. So thank you very much. To my mentor, Kelly McDonald, who has been with me since I graduated school and has been there since the inception of the program. My friend, you have made me grow as a person, as an individual. And for God's sake, you took us through a pandemic where nobody knew what the hell was going on. And you stuck with us in a 30-minute program, and the end of your day was added with doing the neutral zone, so we greatly appreciate that. Finally, we thank the audience. Without you, we would not be able to do our program that we do, and we appreciate the continued support of the program. Derek Wellsman, who was with us as a technical producer as well, putting in those lovely intros and voicemail IDs and all those sorts of things. Without all of you, we could not have done this program. So thank you. I've been thinking about this for a long time. And where I'm going to end this is tell you thank you and may God bless. And until we meet again.